Here's the ledger keeper of the Padres canon, Dallas McLaughlin.
Oh, welcome back to Padres canon, everybody. It's been a while. It's been a long time, like a month. I took a break. Sometimes, you know, you just have to take a break. I had a baby, I had a brand new baby, and my baby, oddly enough, is much more important than all of you. I'm sad to say. But the last Padres canon we did do was a fantastic episode with Mr. Danny Ortiz of the 5.5 podcast, where he nominated Andy Ashby for inclusion into the Padres canon. And I am proud to say, as a very, very big Andy Ashby fan, that it's time. We all rise, take off your hats, take off your glasses, keep your shirts on, because it's time we include Andy Ashby into the Padres canon. Congratulations, Andy. You deserved it. You got in with an overwhelming amount of the vote, which makes me happy that people reminded themselves that you were on the 1998 team. We move on, though. We move on. We're back from break, and we move on with the first guest on the Padres canon season one. He returns, Mr. H.J. Preller, the Padres Twitter legend himself. H.J. Preller has brought for nomination Mr. Brian Lawrence. Very excited to talk about B-Law, as I was a big fan of watching him pitch for years and years and years. We get into it. We get into the specifics, why he's one of the best Padres pitchers that the team has had in the 2000s. It's time. Welcome, H.J. Preller. Oh, we are back with the lovely, the talented, the beautiful Mr. H.J. Preller at H.J. Preller on Twitter. H.J., how are you feeling? Are you good? Are you doing well?
I'm good. Thanks for having me back for this.
Yeah, well, I mean, how could I not? The Kurt Bavakwa debate was almost death throes. People were
fiery, yeah.
People were mad at everybody, but none more than mad at Kurt Bavakwa. And that's really where we wanted the anger to go.
That was the point of the entire thing. It's actually why you started the podcast for that episode.
Exactly. Just to get people mad at Kurt Bavakwa. Well, I mean, this one is a delight. It's a damn delight that you've brought him into the discussion. Once again, if you're a first-time listener, this is where long-time, if not lifetime, San Diego Padres fans elect someone that they believe should be or shouldn't be included in the history book of the San Diego Padres. If you were to open up the giant history book of the Padres, that this person, this name, would be included in that book, in the Padres canon. It's not the Hall of Fame. It's the Padres canon. And ultimately, you, on Padres Twitter, you get to vote. You are the deciding factor on if this person will be included. And I'm so happy you brought this person up. The little Greg Maddux, Mr. Brian Lawrence. This is a delight. I'm guessing there's a lot of people, once I said that name, didn't even know who I was talking about.
Really?
Yeah, I think
one
so.
One of the greatest pitchers we had over an entire era.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
An opening day starter. I mean, there's so much about Brian Lawrence that's unforgettable.
It's literally I loved watching Brian Lawrence pitch. That's not hyperbole. Like, he was one of my favorite pitchers to watch.
You don't like velocity, right? I mean, Brian Lawrence is your man.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when he was pitching, people called him little Greg Maddux, and it was because everything he threw moved, and he didn't have a lot of velocity. This is also one of the problems when he would throw to first, is that he had trouble because every time he threw the ball, it moved. But I enjoyed watching him pitch. He's one of those guys that seemed like he was always thinking about the next guy up that he planned. He was just a joy. Yeah. But let's give a little background for him before we dive into your case. I'm imagining right now, off the enthusiasm, that you are voting for inclusion. So let me give you a little background.
It's bad to say, to give away the end.
I'm not going to give away the end.
We're supposed to tease, well, it, right?
You don't know how I feel. I could be happy, but still, at the end of the day, tell him to, you know, F off. He was born in Fort Collins, Colorado. He played baseball for only two teams. And those two teams obviously were the San Diego Padres. And then he came back a couple of years later and played for the New York Mets. He was, let's see, selected in the 17th round in the 1998 baseball draft by the Padres. He spent a year in the rookie league and the Padres organization, played a full year in 1998-9 in Class A advanced.
And then during the 2000 season, he shot up to AAA. And at the end of the season, his major league debut for the Padres. Ended up that season, 2001, going 5-5 with an ERA of 3.45. That's a solid, solid ERA. Didn't play long for the San Diego Padres. Didn't have a storied career. Basically, his first appearance was in 2001. And then I feel bad that I should know this, but in 2005, he left the game and then reappeared in 2007 for the New York Mets. HJ, knowing all of this, please, please tell me, why should Brian Lawrence be in the canon?
Okay, so let's put ourselves back into when he came up, right? The Padres are well known for just a long history of terrible draft picks, right? Over this entire like 20-year, I don't know, maybe 40-year era of the team.
Uh-huh.
And if you go back to back then, the Kevin Towers was the GM, right? And there was no money being put into draft picks. And we were being told all the time that the way to get back to competitiveness is to get, quote, pitchability pitchers, right? That were like mature college starters with poor velocity, but would make the big leagues quickly and would contribute as low cost arms for a minuscule payroll, right? That was what the plan was then.
You're giving me chills with all your sexy talk right now.
Yeah. I mean, we would get a guy like Jay Witasik on the team and we'd be like, wow, this guy throws really hard. Cause he would throw like a 93 mile per hour fastball with no control. And yeah. We'd be like, this is totally different than what we're used to seeing. And the reason that was different was because we were watching Brian Lawrence take the hill every five games. Right.
Exactly.
And Brian Lawrence, to me, captured two things. One was the best of the pitchability pitchers of that entire era. And we had many. I mean, I don't know if you remember guys like Brian Tolberg.
Oh, of course.
There's probably more if I really sit down and think about it. But guys that throw 92 or below that were supposed to be command guys.
Two biggest of that era were Adam Eaton and Kevin Jarvis. Remember?
Well, Eaton threw hard.
Yeah, but he didn't. But
Jarvis, I think, would fall into the pitchability.
Oh, you think?
Right?
Maybe I'm misremembering Jarvis. But go ahead. I don't mean to interrupt.
So the other thing with Lawrence to me is he signified the transition from last place, terrible Padres to, even up to now, the longest sustained winning era of Padres baseball, which coincided with the opening of Petco Park in 2004. And he stuck around for 2 years into that, including the playoff run in, I think, 2005, they made the playoffs. So he, to me, when I think of the players that were with the team when it was, what's the meme on Twitter? It's like the if you weren't with us with the insert bad player, then you don't deserve to be with us. The Fernando Tatis. Yeah. Brian Lawrence is that guy that bridged. If you weren't with us with the Brian Lawrence, then you don't deserve to be with us with the I don't know, Brian Giles or you know. Who was good in 2006? Plenty. I mean, plenty were good, but
Adrian Gonzalez.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There you go. So to me, he transitioned us from terrible, sad Padres baseball, the empty Jack Murphy Stadium in the early 2000s to successful Petco Park baseball. So to me, that's something. It's not necessarily an accomplishment of Brian Lawrence other than sticking around and having a low salary, but he did stick around through that period and stuck around on a playoff team for 2 years of winning baseball in San Diego.
I have, you know what, like I said earlier, I should have looked into this and I'm happy that I did because I kind of didn't really know what happened to him after 2005, but in 2005, he was traded with cash to the Nationals for Vinny Castilla.
Right. And that's another thing I was going to get into is classic quintessential Padres is being pawned off for a past his prime but still marketable name, which that trade was.
Oh, I remember being very excited about Vinny Castilla. I would fall into every one of those damn traps.
Was that a Brad Hop era also? Same.
Yeah, this sounds, Brad Hop was definitely 07. So it could have been the same era. Yeah, Vinny Castilla was so bad. So bad.
So terrible.
Keep going.
Well, Brian Lawrence was a dependable arm for this team. I mean, he threw 200 innings plus 3 years in a row. He was an opening day starter. He had a winning record in 2004. 15-14. I mean, his ERA was not stellar, but that was also a heightened offensive time in baseball. So,
yeah. And he had two appearances in the postseason, pitched pretty well in the postseason. It wasn't a total, you know,
he pitched disaster. Better than Jake Peavy in the playoffs.
Well, that's Jake Peavy and his fiery attitude. if we're talking stats, real quick, you know, obviously people love WAR, and he had a fairly good WAR over six seasons in the majors. It wasn't terrible.
I'm going to point out that he had more WAR in his Padres career than Padres Hall of Famer Gary Templeton did.
I didn't see that. This is something I didn't know.
He had three more WAR than Gary Templeton. Oh, and Templeton was here much longer. So
the number I'm seeing is 8.2. I don't know where you're going with it.
For Lawrence or for
Lawrence, for Lawrence.
Okay. I'm on Fangraphs, so it shows 11.7. So
wow, Fangraphs is so generous either way, aren't they?
He did peak at 3.9 in his 2002 season. And his first two seasons here were fairly excellent. I mean, a sub four ERA in that era was excellent.
Well, I mean, yeah, the 2001 through 2005, when they actually made PEDs illegal, I mean, bombs are just leaving left and right. So he definitely held his own.
Yeah. I mean, he did not strike out anyone. His strikeouts were poor. And for his reputation as a pitchability control command guy, he actually had fairly poor command. I mean, his walks per nine weren't bad, but weren't great. It wasn't Maddux-like. But he stuck around and he did it. In fact, in 2005, he threw the slowest fastball of all National League starters. He averaged 83.3 miles per hour. So,
I mean, that alone might be enough to put him in the canon. That is remarkable. He and like you said, he pitched a ton of innings. He was just reliable. You know, if you look at his stats for the five seasons he played, he was a reliable pitcher for the Padres. And I think I remember, if I remember correctly, during that era too, he was kind of one of those guys, and maybe this was just the spin that Towers and Co. were putting on him, but one of those guys kind of like Adam Eaton, if they could just figure it all out, they'd be great.
And if you remember with Lawrence, it was kind of game. It was game to game, because Lawrence would come out and shut out a team. Mm-hmm. And you'd be like, he's figuring it out. This is it. He's not afraid to, he's hitting the corners, because that's where he had to do, because he would get destroyed if he didn't. But in the next game, he would give up, you know, seven runs in three innings or something. Yeah. But
yeah. His if people are wondering, his walks per nine, from the numbers I'm seeing, are 4.0, and his strikeouts per nine, 5.6. So fairly 50-50. In that realm, and his control wasn't great, but you know, I mean, to have those kind of numbers and still not have this, you know, ballooned ERA, except for in 2005, where he looks like statistically was his worst season. That's good. That's a ball player right there.
And here's the thing that I think puts him over the top. What do all Padres fans lust after? We've these are two achievements, I guess you could say, individual novelty achievements that for so long eluded Padres fans, right? It was the cycle, and it's a no-hitter. The no-hitter, of course, we've never had in our team's history. No. And a cycle, we've had
twice,
right? Yeah, all in the last, you know, recent history.
And one only half counts because it was Matt Kemp.
And they were both in Colorado, so.
Yeah, good point.
So just for some context, in Major League Baseball history, there have been 305 no-hitters. There have been 330 cycles. It's not a rare occurrence. It was just something that, for some reason, the Padres couldn't get. Brian Lawrence achieved something rarer when in 2002 he had he was the 33rd overall pitcher in Major League history to accomplish an immaculate inning, which is a 9-strike, 3-strikeout half inning. He is the only Padre in history to have done it. The immaculate inning is usually linked with high strikeout guys. Like, I think Nolan Ryan threw two of them. A lot of the greatest strikeout pitchers in history have immaculate innings.
Yeah.
Brian Lawrence is on that list, and he is the only Padre to have ever achieved that, that achievement. To me, an immaculate inning is at least as impressive as a cycle.
I mean, if you're looking at stats in history, you would have to be correct about that.
I mean, it's certainly rarer. I mean, it's more rare than a perfect game.
Yeah.
So to me, that's something that nobody seems to care or talk about now, but that's because we already have it. I think that if we didn't have an immaculate inning in our team's history, you would hear fans on Padres Twitter begging for the next immaculate inning, right? Like, when are we going to get one? And then we'll start speculating whether, Yu Darvish will throw the first one, and then we'll debate on whether we want, like, it'll be like we have with no hitters, where it's like, well, what if it's like, I don't know, who's the worst pitcher on the team last year? Like some short timer that we pick up at the trade deadline that sucks. And we'll be like, do we really want our immaculate inning to be done by that guy or by a real Padre?
Yeah.
In this case, we had a real Padre do it, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, I would say, he pitched one season for one other team. I would say this is a real Padre, if there ever was one. Well, let's see. I wanted to go over just the end of his career, because I think it's kind of a sad way to look. And I'm glad that I haven't until now. But he was traded to the Nationals 2005. He had a bunch of shoulder issues. Went on the disabled list in 2006. On January 21st, 2007, he was signed by the Rockies, released very early into the season.
He would not have wanted to pitch in Colorado. He would not have worked there.
Yeah, that would have been a terrible, terrible experience. And then he was signed by the Mets, pitched for the Mets for a little while, bounced around, found his way to the Brewers. He started his first game against the Brewers. He was designated for assignment later that season, picked up by the Royals in 2008, released in camp, picked up by the Camden River Sharks of the Atlantic League in 2008. Then found his way onto the Atlanta Braves in AAA, became a free agent at the end of the season, AAA. Then, I don't know if you knew this, but in 2009, the San Diego Padres purchased his contract from the Orange County Flyers and sent him to AAA.
He is yet another bring him home.
Bring him character. Home. And then in 2009, he was released by the San Diego Padres. So he was picked up June 15th, released on August 1st in 2009. Then he still was going though, HJ. He went to the Florida Marlins in 2009, signed a contract, released as a minor leaguer, signed with the Giants in 2011, released before the season started. And then in 2011, signed with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, where he never did anything past AAA. So kind of a sad end to his career, where he clearly wanted to try to keep going and people just kept saying no to your 83-mile-an-hour fastball. But did have 2 cents on the Padres, played his best baseball on the Padres, and like you say, is the only Padre, one of very few pitchers with an immaculate inning. So let's throw it out there. H.J. Preller, are you voting for Brian Lawrence's inclusion into the Padres canon?
Of course, yes. One quick thing to add, I found this hilarious, was so he pitched 5 years with the Padres. If you're familiar with like free agency, you get 6 years of team control, right? Mm-hmm. So he was traded to the Nationals as a salary dump, which is a quintessentially Padres on its own.
Exactly.
But he only earned $2 million in 2005.
Yeah, and
he ended up earning $4 million with the Nationals. That was the contract that they traded away. So he was too expensive at $4 million. But at the time of the trade, Kevin Towers was quoted as saying, quote, Brian Lawrence was an effective low-cost innings eater, which to me Is there anything that captures that era of Padres baseball more than being an effective, low-cost innings eater?
I wish that I could get a Brian Lawrence jersey that said that on the front.
I do too. I would buy that.
That is that. And what's funny is that that quote, like, imagine you're Brian Lawrence and you hear that. How does that make you feel?
It wasn't like Brian Lawrence was a key part of our 2005 playoff run. Like,
oh my God, poor Brian Lawrence. Well, he's still alive. That's
Don't feel bad for him, because I'm looking at his career earnings and he earns about $8 million over his career. So
I'm sure he invested wisely. He was a coach for a couple minutes as well. And I'm sure he's doing fine. I don't know where he lives currently, but somewhere. And
I'm sure he's always welcome on the Kept Faith podcast as a guest.
Oh, we would love to have him on. So HJ is a voting yes. Just to give a couple more numbers for all of you out there who are waiting to vote. He had a career record of 50-63, which honestly, win-loss, what does that mean? Earned run average 4.19 for career and 597 strikeouts, which, you know, that's not terrible for a pitcher who was like Brian Lawrence. So as far as inclusion in the Padres canon, I, Dallas, am going to also say yes. I probably watched Brian Lawrence pitch more than any other pitch live. Sorry. More than any other Padres pitcher. I went to a ton of games during those five seasons. And, like I said, he was a joy to watch. So that's two yeses from me and HJ. Now we throw it to you, Padres Twitter. Go to the Kept Faith. The question will be pinned at the Kept Faith on Twitter. Should Brian Lawrence be included into the Padres canon? Yes or no? Place your vote. It's up to you. You are the ultimate decider. And then next week on the podcast, we will announce if you have bestowed canondom upon little Greg Maddux, Brian Lawrence, or you said no. Rip that page out of history. No reason to look at it. HJ, is always a pleasure. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Follow him on Twitter at HJ Preller and listen to the Gwintelligence podcast on iTunes. And I'm sure you're just as excited as I am for this coming season.
Can't wait.
Nice. Thanks,
Much Ben. Like oh. I couldn't wait for a Brian Lawrence start back then.
Hey, you were getting six solid. You knew that. Six solid.
Hey, look, in context, Joe Roa would be starting or some awful pitcher, and you'd be like, God, I can't wait for Brian Lawrence to come around in the rotation again. Like, you buy your ticket for when Brian Lawrence was pitching, because that was the best option we had.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. These are all fantastic arguments. I can't wait to see how it pans out. Follow us on the Kept Faith, download, subscribe, all that good stuff on podcast worlds.